We started, if you remember, look at the names and titles of God. We said, look, let's look through the Bible at all the names of God, the titles of God, and that tells us who he is and what he's done. And we went back and looked at the names of the Old Testament. We looked at names in the New Testament. We looked at names of prophecy of the Messiah coming. We looked at names at his birth. We looked at names at his ministry, basically when he's on the earth. Now we're looking at the names when he's in heaven, what we call his heavenly ministry. What's he doing in the heavenly places? That's what we've talked about. The last lesson, which is the one you also have in your hand, which we won't, probably may not get to today, but the last lesson will deal with what's his eternal names and how does that affect us. Well, we saw that as far as his heavenly ministry is concerned, he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he's the bridegroom. And that's what he's doing. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's preparing a place for us. He's going to come back and get us. What do we call it when Jesus comes back and gets us? What do we call that? The rapture. He's going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. And thus we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so that's going to be us, the body of Christ, being taken off the face of the earth. As he's there preparing a place, and we looked at intercession last week, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I want to raise a couple of questions. Sometimes I've had people, I read there was a little controversy on this about 5 years ago, and I want to talk to you about it. Are all people in the family of God? Are all human beings created by God, are they in the family of God? What do you say? You say no. Yes, you're exactly right. The fact that all human beings are created by God is one thing. To be in the family of God comes how? Huh? By faith in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're placed in the body of Christ. Okay? Now, here's the question, and we talk about praying, because what we're going to be looking at is Jesus makes intercession for us, and he's an advocate for us, and we'll see that in a minute. Here's the question. We know that we can come to him anytime, any place, anywhere, and do what? We can lift up prayer requests to him, right? Can unbelievers lift up prayer requests to God? And if so, does he hear those prayer requests? Or, let me put it another way, he may hear them because he knows everything. Will he answer unbelievers' prayer requests? Now, the reason I brought that up is several years ago, about 5 years ago, there was this giant controversy, and people were saying that God doesn't hear the prayer of the unbeliever, only the believer. So let me ask you a question. Does God hear the prayers of unbelievers or just believers? And when I say hear the prayers, meaning that he's going to answer those prayers. So could it be that when an unbeliever prays, we know that God hears that? Is God obligated to answer that prayer? What if the prayer is, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior? Right? I've had people say that God doesn't hear the prayer of the unbeliever. You remember a guy by the name of Cornelius? Cornelius was a Roman soldier, and it says that he brought alms and prayed to God all the time, but he wasn't a believer. And God sent an angel to Cornelius, this is Acts chapter 10, and said, your prayers have come up to God. Here's what you do. Send for a guy by the name of Peter. He will come and tell you how you can have eternal life. So when we start talking about prayer, I want you to understand that we can come to God anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything. We call it intercession. Unbelievers pray to God. And he's not, in one sense, he's not obligated to do any. They're not the family of God, but God loves all people. And I have to tell you this story. When I was 12 years old, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until I was 19. And my daddy traveled all the time. He would travel for B.F. Goodrich. And one night he didn't come home. He's supposed to be home like at 6, and he wasn't home. And it was like 7, and then it became 8 o'clock, and then it became 9 o'clock. And my mother was really worried. In those days, they didn't have cell phones. You didn't have anything. You didn't know where people were. And I remember going to my room and saying, dear God, would you make sure my daddy's okay and bring him home? Well, about another hour later, he came in the door, but he didn't come in his car. A person had picked him up. His car, they had hit like a deer. He'd gone off the road, gone down a big old hill. mysteries, got to the bottom, got out of the car, climbed back up the hill, walked on the road, and somebody picked him up. And so God answered my prayer, I think. And I was an unbeliever. He chose to answer it. Later, when I was 19, in a Bible study, at the end of a Bible study, I said to him, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and you promise me what? Eternal life. He answered that prayer too. So let's talk about it real quickly. Let's look at intercession for just a second. Intercession is when we talk about God is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father making intercession for us. Look at Hebrews. And I don't know if I told you to turn there. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to go very quickly through Hebrews 4. We saw this last week. I wanted to get to one other thing before time runs out. But in Hebrews 4, verse 14 says this. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. Where is Jesus right now? Seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Okay, what is he doing? Look what it says. By the way, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We talked about it last week. Is temptation sin? No, you can be tempted. You can go, oh my, and that doesn't mean you've sinned. You can be there. You could be something money saying right there, and it's somebody else's money, and you can be tempted to say, whoever that is, I don't know. I could get it. You could be tempted. That's not sin. Jesus was tempted what? In all points yet without sin. So temptation is not sin. But look what he says. Since we have a great high priest who's passed through heavens, since we have one who sympathizes with us, therefore, verse 16, therefore let's draw near. What is the response? The response is we come to him. He makes intercession for us. Therefore, let's draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We come boldly to the throne of grace. This, our Bible says, come confident, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Some translations say, come boldly to the throne of grace. And what do we look for? We look for mercy and grace in the time of need. You can lift up a prayer request anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything to God. Anytime, any place, anywhere, anything. Hebrews 7:25 says, he lives forever to make intercession for us. So as we go through life, that's what we want to do. He draws near, or we draw near, because he makes the intercession for us. This is one of my favorite verses right here. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let our requests be made known. You don't have to be anxious about anything. I was leaving Dallas last night, and it's a part of Dallas I really don't know. There's like 17 highways coming together and about 50 million cars. I don't know all that. And so as I'm pulling out of this place, I'm saying, oh, Lord, please don't let me miss wherever I'm supposed to turn. And he didn't. But see, some people say, that's stupid. No, it's not stupid to me. It wasn't stupid to me then, let me tell you. And that's when we think about life, you can be, don't be anxious, but let our requests be made known. One other thing I want to talk about. We've seen him as the groom. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back and get us. We've seen him as the priest, which makes intercession. We're going to also see him now as our advocate. I want you to think about this. The word advocate means one standing beside. It actually means a defense attorney. And we need an advocate. We need somebody to stand beside us. What are we talking about? I want you to turn to 1 John. Because we're going to talk about something different than making intercession. We're going to see that there's a different word. It's a different aspect. You're going through life. There's an issue. And you say, oh, Lord, help me. What do we call that? He's doing what for us there? He's making intercession because we're bringing a prayer request to him. We're bringing something to him. But what if we do wrong? What if we sin? What if as a child of God, we're in fellowship with God, then some kind of temptation comes or something comes and we yield to that and we choose to disobey God? We're out of fellowship with him. Is that true? We are. Because God doesn't move away from us, we move away from him. And so when we sin, we need some help. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 1. He says, my little children, And that's what he calls us. That's, John is right, and he calls my little children. He's calling believers little children because we're all in family of God, and we're children of God. He says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Is that pretty good? Listen, for all of us in this room, let's do what? Let's don't sin, right? That's what he's really saying. I'm writing this to you so that you don't sin. How many of us sin? Any of us sin in this room? Okay. Are y'all not obeying this, or what's going on here? What did he say? Me too. Hey, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, who's that? That's us. Okay. If anyone sins, what do we have? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, I want you to see that it says advocate. It's a parakletos, which is the Greek word, which the word para, P-A-R-A, means beside, like parallel. We get parallel from it. And then kletos comes from a Greek word that means to call, kaleo. So parakletos means one called beside. This is the one called beside us. So when we get into trouble, I mean, when people get arrested, what's the first thing they tell people? Call my lawyer, right? Because they want that person to come along and be their what? Their advocate, their defense attorney. Okay, we sin. Who do we need to call? We need to call our lawyer, right? Right, because who did we sin against? The Heavenly Father, okay? And he's righteous, and he's the judge, is he not? So here is the Heavenly Father who created us, who saves us, who empowers us, who gives us the Word, who gives us the Holy Spirit, who takes care of us moment by moment. And what do? We say, I'm going to do my own thing. Thank you very much. And so we break fellowship with him. And we break fellowship with him. We realize we sin. And what do we need? We need an attorney because we've messed up, right? And he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. Now, if anyone sins, it's a third class. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He represents us. So when you go into the court, I want you to picture this. You go into the court. Who are you going to stand before? The righteous judge. Are you guilty or not guilty? You're guilty. You can't say, not guilty by reason of insanity. I don't know why I did that, right? We say, I blew it, right? Isn't that what confession is? Confession is to tell on yourself. Look what this verse says. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he, Jesus Christ the righteous, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. That means the saddest factory payment. He's the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world. Now, you've got a lawyer that's already paid the penalty that you just did. You don't just have a lawyer that says he kind of lost his mind for a little bit. Well, you got a lawyer that paid the penalty. Who accuses you? Who does? Satan is like a roaring lion and accusing us, right? Does he say that I'm a wretched sinner? Does he say that I'm a wretched sinner? Am I a wretched sinner? Yes. Yeah. So when he accuses me, sometimes he lies. He is a liar. He makes up everything. But he doesn't even have to lie about sin, does he? I mean, does he have to lie about me? Could he go before God and say, he doesn't deserve to go to heaven? He's a wretched sinner. He's bad. He's worse than you think he is. Right? Is he right? Okay, so I'm standing there before the righteous judge with an accuser. Who do I have in my corner? I have my defense attorney, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And what Jesus can say is, sit down. I've already paid for everything. That's why he is the propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Look back at verse 9 of chapter 1. If we what? Confess our sins, which means tell on ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to do what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do we do when we sin? Do we hide? When Adam and Eve were in the garden and God told them, don't eat from the tree, you know, he told Adam, he basically said to Adam, to Adama, which means dirt, he said to the man's, the Hebrew word for man is Ish, and his name was Adama, Adam, which is dirt, the word for dirt. He told Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat from that tree, you die and you shall surely die. He created the woman. Her name is Isha, out from man. She didn't have a name. It was Adama, the man, Ish, and the woman, Isha. And then Adam told the woman, and here's what he told her. See that tree right there? We're not to eat from that tree. In fact, don't even touch it. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't even touch it. The moment they disobeyed, when Satan came and tempted her, in fact, Satan said, can you not eat from every tree? And she said, we're not to eat from it. We're not even to touch it. And he said, oh, God's lying. God's lying to you. He doesn't want you to eat it because if you eat it, you'll be like God. And then he didn't want any competition. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And if he really loved you, he'd let you eat from every tree. Why is he limited? If he really loved you. See, Satan always wants us to doubt God's love and doubt God's word. And so they ate the fruit. What did they do immediately when they ate the fruit? They ran and hid. See, the natural thing when you sin is to do what? Hide. You see it, you want it, you do it, you hide it. And so when we sin, we forget we have a what? An advocate with the Father. So when we do wrong, listen, as we go through life, we can raise up any prayer request, Lord, about this and this and this, that's called intercession. But when we sin, when we do wrong, the most natural thing that we think to do is to run. The natural thing is to pretend it didn't happen. The natural thing is to lie about it. The natural thing is to pretend we didn't do wrong. The natural thing is not to think about God anymore. The natural thing is to say, I'm just going to forget this thing. But we're broken fellowship. And what we have to realize is we're sinners and we need fellowship with the Father. We can never lose our relationship. Our relationship comes by faith. This is talking about fellowship. And so what do? We say, I'm calling my lawyer, Jesus, and I'm going into the courtroom, and there's the accuser, and there's the righteous judge. This is the one I have sinned against. I did what he told me not to do, but I have my defense attorney, and Jesus Christ says, I've paid for it all. And when I say, I did this, there's my attorney. He's faithful and just to what? Forgive me and to cleanse me. So, you have an advocate with the Father. And anytime you sin, immediately, the moment we recognize we do something wrong, immediately confess it. Because you've got the defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for us. Well, what have we seen in these weeks of just the heavenly ministry? And we got one more lesson to look at. We've seen that we have a great high priest in the heavens, and he's the bridegroom preparing a place for us. We've also seen that he is our great high priest who offered a sacrifice and intercession. And he offered the sacrifice, which is the final sacrifice for sin forever, and we spent several weeks seeing him pour out his blood in the heavenly tabernacle. That was incredible truth. Then we've seen him who lives forever to make intercession for us. And so we can bring our request to him anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything. And then last but not least, we see that he's our advocate. That when we sin, he is our defense attorney. So there's so much there. Let me give you some applications and then we'll probably have a minute or two. And if anybody's got a question or a comment or anything, we'll talk about it. But think about this. First of all, we want to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, our groom, to get us his bride. Let me ask you this question. When could Jesus come? Anytime. Are there any signs that must be fulfilled before Jesus comes in the clouds to get us? What? No, there are no signs. No signs for the rapture. There are no signs for Jesus coming in the clouds. In fact, he comes in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. The dead in Christ rise first. We are alive and remain, caught up together with them. There are no signs. This is not the second coming. The first coming, there were signs. Jesus came and he was born in Bethlehem and all of the prophecies and everything were fulfilled. The second coming of Jesus, as he comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's all kinds of signs. Many of them deal with the tribulation. But for the rapture, which is in between the two comings, the rapture's in the clouds, there are no signs. So Jesus Christ, Our groom could come get us at any second. Second application to think about is rejoice that Jesus is the final sacrifice for sin forever. On earth, he offered the sacrifice where? On the cross. In heaven, he offered the sacrifice where? In the where? At the tabernacle, which is probably different than the throne. It may be the same, but there's the tabernacle, which was the picture of the one, or the copy, or the one in heaven was the one on the earth was made the copy of it. Okay, third, bring all our requests to Jesus, our intercessor, anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything. And you can do it. And we need to get in the habit of doing that. In fact, if you're walking somewhere and you're by yourself, start talking to him. You can talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere. You can pray while you're driving. Just don't shut your eyes, right? I mean, that's the key. Just talk to him. Talk to him about anything, anywhere, any place. And last but not least, confess our sins. And that means tell on yourself. Let me just say something. Confession of sin is not to ask for forgiveness. It's okay to ask for forgiveness. But the word confess doesn't say ask for forgiveness. The word confess says tell on yourself. And when you tell on yourself, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. So confess our sins, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ.